Good morning. And welcome to Unity Church, where we are committed to welcoming all people, especially those who have been excluded due to race or gender identity or sexual orientation. Everyone's gifts are welcome here. A special welcome to those of you who are visiting for the first time. We hope you find Unity Church to be a place which helps you to find and to keep your balance, a place which helps you live a loving life of integrity and service and joy. We invite you to sign our visitor's book, if you're visiting, at the welcome table and in the cloister by the Portland Avenue entrance so we can stay in touch. If you'd like a tour of the church following the service, please meet with Betsy Guthman at the back of the sanctuary to learn more about the church and find your way through this marvelous labyrinth we call home. We also invite you to take one of our classes designed for newcomers and those considering membership, such as our Welcome to Unity class, which will be offered on December 5th and January 9th. If you've already taken Welcome to Unity and are seeking a deeper involvement, please sign up for Finding Yourself at Unity with King Sigismund. That class will be offered on Saturday, January 12th. You can sign up for both of those classes at the welcome table. I'd like to call your attention to the insert in your order of service this week at Unity, which serves as an invitation and a roadmap to deeper involvement in the life of the church. It lists the activities in the coming week and can help you to manage your schedule. Following the service this morning, we hope you'll join us for refreshments in the parish hall. There you can meet new friends and old, peruse our bookstall, and visit the information tables. Both the Children's and Anderson Adult Library are open following each service and are located on the second floor of the Elliott Wing. In celebration of Partner Church Sunday, our guest musicians, the Okstar Bez Imi, will be playing in the sanctuary during coffee hour. I would just remind you that if you wish to come back into the sanctuary, finish your coffee and your goodies, whatever they may be, before you come in. There will be a guard stationed at the door. Our chalice lighter at the 9 o'clock service is Maddie Andrew. Next Sunday, the service entitled Joy in Integrity will be led by Hallman Ministerial Intern Matt Alspa and Worship Associate Neely Crane Smith. We have a typo in the order of service, which will be confusing if I don't tell you about it. In the second verse of the Hymn of Affirmation, the fourth line, all herbs and fruits that richly grow, is followed by another line which is missing, which is, let them thy glory also show. So make a note. Let them thy glory also show. Following the service, Sharon and Carrie and Jan and I would love to greet you at the Portland Avenue doors. And once again, welcome to Unity Church.
The season of gratitude. In this season, we gather to give thanks for our blessings and our aspirations, to remember other Thanksgivings and to revisit Thanksgiving myths, and most importantly, to celebrate the gifts of family and friendship. May we cherish those who are with us and others who are separated from us by geography, estrangement, or death. Finally, may this focus on gratitude enable us to live more gracious, joyful lives. Come, let us worship together.
Thank you. standing and join with us in reading in unison number 471 in the back of your hymnal. Love is the doctrine of this church. The quest of truth is its sacrament, and service is its prayer. To dwell together in peace, to seek knowledge and freedom, to serve human need, to the end that all souls shall grow into harmony with the divine. Thus do we covenant with each other and with God. Thank you. You may be seated.
Each time we gather for worship, whether here in the sanctuary or upstairs in the chapel with the children, we set aside time to expand the caring ministry of this congregation. Together we recognize the cycle of life and death, the circle of love, compassion, and witness that is at the center of this sacred community. Our hearts are with those who live with grief or chronic pain, for illnesses seen and unseen, those who live with addiction, those who live with mental illness, those in prison, those who care for family members in ill health, and those who knowingly and with curiosity and courage face their final days. We mourn the death and celebrate the life of Sylvia Souchere. We hold her son John, his wife Marcia, and their family in our embrace. A service to celebrate her life will be held here Thursday, November 29th at 4 p.m. Our hearts are with the Lane family as they anticipate the death of Eric's mother, Miriam Lane. Mimi is in hospice care and close to death. We pray her children's love for one another will be renewed in light of their mother's impending death. We grieve with Mary Anderson and her family. Mary's brother Jimmy died this past week of ALS. Meg Arnasty's father, Hal Meldy, died this past week in Colorado. We hold Meg and her family, Don, Nick, Nathan, and Libby, in our embrace. Cindy Anderson's father, Burke Ivan Anderson, also died this past week. We grieve with Cindy and Michael and Mara as they say goodbye. Laura Frickman's father has suffered a stroke and is in critical condition. Mary Temple has had a fall and broken her arm. We wish her a full recovery. Cynthia Stange is living with a diagnosis of kidney cancer and asks our prayers. And so we pray for the continuing recovery of 5-year-old Avery Gallagher. And may we stand in compassionate solidarity with our neighbors all around the world who suffer in the midst of habitual violence. May they and we be instruments of a lasting peace. I now invite you to speak the names of those who you have brought here in your hearts this morning. And let us pray. Holy One, source of radiance and reason, thou whose love endows and animates our lives, be with us now, as we would be with one another. At this time, when we are asked to count and contemplate our blessings, help us to be grateful for more than simply the abundance which surrounds us. Though we take joy in that abundance, teach us to take joy as well in the distillation which scarcity can bring. When we feel we are lost and alone, help open our hearts to compassion for those who are lost and alone. And when we hunger, open our hearts in compassion to all those who hunger. And when we fall far short of the best that is in us, teach us compassion for those who, like us, have also known sin. Strengthen us then in our resolve to be joyful people. Joyful people, grateful for good harvest and wise enough to know the harvest thy love will always bring in. May it be so. And amen.
It's a whole village to raise our children. It takes a whole village to raise one child. We all, everyone, must share the burden. We all, everyone, will share the
It'll make noise. Thank you, choir. That was wonderful. On Thanksgiving Sunday, we usually dedicate our theme to gratitude and focus on our role as pilgrims as we travel to Transylvania in particular. But today, I want to focus, and Carrie wants to focus, a bit on our heritage as descendants of the pilgrims. Because the story of our faith on this soil begins with the landing of the pilgrims at Plymouth. Now, our liberal faith, of course, would not be recognizable to them as related to them. But nonetheless, there are significant things that we do share in common with them. And I wish that I could begin my story with a Thanksgiving meal so full of bounty, fellowship, and promise. But the real story behind the legend is, of course, much more complicated and I think therefore more instructive. So what do we know about the pilgrims? That they were persecuted for their religious ideals and practices, and that they fled the persecution that they found in England by traveling first to Holland, where they encountered a more inclusive and tolerant society, but then ultimately crossed the Atlantic in the late fall, I might add, in a 90-foot-long boat from tip to tip. This chancel is 38 feet long. And Carrie, what do you think the hold where they all lived? About 60 feet?
Maybe as wide as the church, maybe about 10 feet.
Okay, so about 50 feet. And there were animals, lots of them, in the front. And 102 people slept and had their provisions all down in this room. Now, I was dumbfounded when Carrie and Joseph LaFerla and the Junior Heritage Tour this fall encountered the replica of the Mayflower. And to imagine it so full of people and animals, and to imagine that they encountered rough seas and storms much of their journey so that they didn't go up to the air and existed for a lot of their travels down below. Now, not all of the passengers on the Mayflower were pilgrims or separatists, as they were referred to. The pilgrims were given the name of separatists because they only wanted to worship with those who were visible saints, those who had been graced by God in some way. And they wanted to remain separate and distinct from those who were not, and seeing outsiders as potentially corrupting influences. About close to half of the people on the voyage, however, were not pilgrims or separatists. They were referred to as the strangers. And as, of course, the voyage dragged on, arguments and misunderstandings emerged between the two groups, with the strangers claiming that once they landed, they had no further obligations to the group as a whole, which had been their understanding when they embarked on the journey. Now, the leaders understood that they would not survive without each other, and to survive, and to ensure that survival, they needed an agreement. And they crafted a covenant called the Mayflower Compact. And this compact combined allegiance to both God and the civic body politic for the common good of its citizens, and it stated that they would gather when needed to make decisions for the good of the community. And John Quincy Adams believed that this document was the beginning of democracy on our shores. Now, the pilgrims were willing to craft a covenant with the strangers, but they ultimately turned distinctly away from those not just like them. Mistrust with the Native community began almost immediately, and they persecuted in turn the Quakers who arrived soon after their arrival seeking the same religious freedom that they had so courageously sought themselves. Now they did, however, craft a covenant between the congregations that were created by the new immigrant congregations. And the heart of that covenant says, we covenant together to walk in goodly fellowship, and that no argument would take us away from that firm belief that we could walk together in fellowship. And that is the covenant that has shaped our congregational history. Now, there was a harvest meal that occurred between the pilgrims and a few Wampanoag male leaders, but it occurred just before the relationship soured and mistrust between the group defined the great, great majority of their interactions. So if this relationship was not sustained, if it fell apart almost immediately, if their first interaction with the natives was to fire gunshot at them, why do we hold up this traditional Thanksgiving story as our defining national story and feast? Because it is a myth that is full of such hope and promise. Because we hope in our deepest hearts that strangers from different lands can sit down next to one another and break bread and make peace. Because that we do understand that we are dependent on one another for our very survival. Both the pilgrims and the Wampanoag celebrated rituals of Thanksgiving, and those rituals were carried through the centuries into our modern day. Into our modern day Thanksgiving feast. But they never celebrated that Thanksgiving ritual together. And that Thanksgiving ritual was a necessary and essential part of each culture's annual calendar. Each in their own way took time to acknowledge their relationship, which was greater than themselves, and to offer gratitude for their very lives. It is important to know our history as a people and as a nation. But as we embark on this most significant holiday, what matters is our promise to walk together despite our differences, the lessons that we have learned from these early failures, which are also our inheritance. To remember on Thanksgiving Day, we sit at a table, often with people we love but do not like. Because it is the covenantal spirit of love that sustains us in our diversity, in our efforts to sit at our Thanksgiving tables, that calls us out from ourselves to be in right relationship with one another in ways that our ancestors could not imagine. And I am grateful for this covenant that binds each to walk together toward a better and deeper understanding of the ways of the Spirit, to walk by its wisdom and radiant light, willing to go where the Spirit calls us to go, just as our ancestors did so long ago. May it be so, and amen.
Thank you, Jan. The canvas continues. It's going well. It would go better if those of you who intend to make a pledge and have not yet done so would dig that pledge card up from the bottom of the pile, fill it out, and send it in, or better yet, stop by the table in the parish hall and make your pledge this morning. We're very grateful to those of you who have already taken the opportunity to make that pledge. Our offering this morning is to benefit the wonderful work of the partner church team here at Unity Church in providing scholarship support and responding to a variety of needs in a village where people we've come to love live, still with uncertainty, still with considerable poverty. We ask you to give as generously as you can to this work, which is so close to the heart of our community. Will the ushers please come forward?
At this time, I'd like to invite the children of the church to come forward and join us up here. You can find a seat on the carpet. Come on up. And parents, if you have a little one who is feeling a little wiggly or shy, feel free to join them up here on the carpet. Come on up. And as you come up, I want you to raise your hand. Jan was just talking to us about pilgrims. Raise your hand if you know what a pilgrim is. Yeah, most of you know what a pilgrim is, and I bet when you think of pilgrims, I bet you think of some people who came over on a boat, and Jan mentioned the name of the boat. Who knows it? What is it?
Mayflower.
The Mayflower, exactly. So there were pilgrims who came over a long, long time ago on a boat called the Mayflower, but did you know that people can still be pilgrims today? It's true. People can still be pilgrims today, and we have some people in our church who have been pilgrims. Just a little while ago, Jan and I went with the high school kids. We went to Boston, and we were pilgrims. And we have some friends here who have traveled to our sister church in Homerud, St. Peter, and they have been pilgrims too. And you might even be pilgrims this Thanksgiving. Because if you're a pilgrim, what it means is this. It means that you are a person who goes on a long journey for reasons of the heart. Maybe for religious reasons. Maybe to go to a place that is sacred to your family. And to be a good pilgrim means you need to do two things. First, you need to have an open heart while you travel. And secondly, when you get where you're going, you need to be a good guest. Because even though it feels like when you get here, you own a little bit of that place in your heart, it's never going to be entirely yours, and you are always going to be a guest. How many of you are going to go somewhere and be a guest over Thanksgiving? Anybody out there going to be a guest at somebody else's house over Thanksgiving? Yeah. How many of you are going to be the opposite? You're going to have guests, and that makes you the host. How many of you are going to be hosts this Thanksgiving? Well, I have a couple of reminders for you that I think will help you to be a good pilgrim this year. That is, be a good guest, because we can learn a lot from people who are being pilgrims today, like our friends who go to Romania. We can learn how to be a good pilgrim from them, and we can learn lessons from the past, from the pilgrims who came on the Mayflower. Some of those lessons are about how to be a good pilgrim, and some of those lessons are about how to be a bad pilgrim. So let's just have some refreshers about how to be a good pilgrim, a good guest. Here is our first rule. Can you guys help me do some reading so that the grown-ups in the back can hear what this is? What does this say? Do bring a gift. When you're a guest, a really nice thing to do is bring a gift. Now, if you are going to go to somebody's house this Thanksgiving, flowers are a nice gift. Or you might bring a sweet treat to share. If we send gifts to our friends in Homerud St. Peter, we might send them things that help them to farm. Sometimes we've even sent them a cow. It's awfully helpful. If you're a pilgrim in the past, something made out of steel seems to go over pretty well. So do bring a gift. Here's another rule. Don't complain that things are different. Now, the lady is saying, "Friggle, friggle, no friggle, grandma never, and I don't."
Even if the potatoes are lumpy.
Even if the potatoes are lumpy, Jan, because you might discover you like lumpy potatoes. And even if one of your grandparents lets you have your Thanksgiving dinner in front of the TV so you can watch the parade, and you get to your other grandparents' house and there is no TV, you will sit at the table. Don't complain that that's different. You could try it out. You could see how it goes. And if you are a pilgrim, especially a pilgrim like the people who came on the Mayflower, or if you're a pilgrim who goes to Homerud St. Peter, don't complain that things are different. Learn about how things are different, especially if you get there and the people pray to God different. Don't insist, "Hey, wait a second, this isn't how we do it. I think you guys should do it differently." So this rule is don't complain that things are different. What's the next rule? Can you read it? Do be helpful. So those of you who are going to go somewhere for Thanksgiving, you can help by setting the table. If you are a big kid, you can be helpful at Christmas too. If you're a big kid, you can help with the little kids by helping to play games. How many of you think of yourselves as big kids? Yeah. So you can help. You can help with that. And if you're somebody who's going to Homerud St. Peter, you can think of ways to be helpful to the village there. Here's another rule. Can you read this one with me? And I'm pretty sure that that has never crossed the minds of our pilgrims who go to Romania. And it's It's easy to laugh about this, but you know what? One of the mistakes that the pilgrims made who came on the Mayflower was, and the people who came before them, they thought that this was okay. And one of the first things that they did, the people who came with John Smith's boat, when they met the native people who lived here, they kidnapped them and they took them back on a boat away from their home. And they never saw their families again. And that has left a wound, a hurt so deep that Thanksgiving today still hurts for some people. And this is why. Let's talk about another do rule. What does this say? Do try everything once. Exactly. Now, if you had been at Plymouth, the bad news is there probably wasn't any popcorn. There might not even have been turkeys because they wouldn't have been passing through there. There definitely wasn't pumpkin pie because they didn't make that. But how do you feel about eel? But a good guest and a good pilgrim will try everything once, even if it's what we call a no thank you bite. Right? If you go to visit our friends who cook wonderful Hungarian dishes, you might get to try something called paprikash, or another Hungarian dish. Try it once, and please, this year, try the squash, okay? What does this say here? Don't share your germs. That's right. When we get together with our family, we have to remember to what? We have to wash our hands, right? Let's talk about this one for a second. We have to wash our hands. How do we cough? Into our sleeve, nicely done. If we are very, very sick, if you have the flu and you've had a fever or you've thrown up, it might be good not to go to Thanksgiving at all because you don't want to spread your germs. And if you happen to be somebody on the Mayflower and you have smallpox, it would probably be better that you didn't come to North America at all. Because some of the people who came here, they had a disease called the smallpox, and whole villages of native people got sick and died. And that's one way to be a bad pilgrim. But this year, if you wash your hands, you probably won't spread your cold, which wouldn't be a tragedy anyways. Please, what? Don't chew with your... That's right. I don't care if you're eating eel or paprikash or squash. That's just a good reminder for all of us. What about this one here? Read this one. Do have friendly conversations. Now, if the pilgrims had had friendly conversations with the native people they might have met, they sure would have learned a lot more than they did. And even if you have a cousin who drives you crazy, I want you to try to have a conversation with them. And this means you, big kids, consider taking the iPods out of your ears so that you can have a conversation with your aunt or your uncle or your cousins or your friends. Our pilgrims who go to Home Road St. Peter, the thing that they come back with that's the best thing ever are the stories that they learn by having conversations. What does this one say? Don't take more than your share. It doesn't matter if you like pumpkin pie, the whole pie is not for you. You may have one slice so that other people can enjoy it as well. And if you are European, you might actually not be entitled to a share of North America at all. But it's a little late for us to learn that lesson. And here's the last rule about being a good guest and a good pilgrim. What does this say?
Do be thankful.
Be thankful that even though the lessons of history are hard, we're learning from them. And do be thankful that we have friends and family to gather with. Be thankful that we have a sister church across the sea that we can learn from and share with. And be thankful for the whole amazing feast that is our life. May it be so, and amen. Thank you. Let's go back and we're going to read responsively number 515 in our hymnals. You may stay seated, please. Thank you. join me in gratefully reading responsively number 515 in the back of your hymnals. For the sun and the dawn which we did not create. For food which we plant but cannot grow. For this gathered company which welcomes us as we are from wherever we have come.
For all our free churches that keep us human and encourage us in our quest for beauty, truth, and love.
For all things which come to us as gifts of being from sources beyond ourselves.
Gifts of life and love.
Everyone, even you, come from many families. And kids that are adopted come from twice as many families. When we gather around the table at Thanksgiving, we are surrounded not only by our friends and our relatives, but also, in a way, by our ancestors. Our church is a family of families. When we gather to sing and pray and give thanks for all the blessings of our lives, We're surrounded not only by this present congregation, but also, as they say, by so great a cloud of witnesses. We're never alone here. Our spiritual ancestors are always here with us. We come from two families of faith. On one side, we're descended from the pilgrims. As Jan told us earlier in the service, the pilgrims were very serious about their religion. They followed a verse from the Bible, taken from a letter written by a man named Paul to a little congregation just getting organized in a city in Greece called Corinth. Paul thought people should only spend time with other people who believed the same things that they believed. He quoted the Jewish prophets. He said, "Therefore, come out from them and be separate from them and touch nothing unclean." So the pilgrims left England. And then they left Holland behind to become separatists. Almost 200 years later, some of the spiritual descendants of that pilgrim family decided that being separate was not the way to learn to love their neighbors as themselves. They were curious about all the neighbors they had never known. They found lots of ways to love their neighbors. They worked hard to make life better, not just for people who believed what they believed, but for everybody. They are here with us today. At almost the same time that the pilgrims sailed out of Plymouth on the southeast coast of England, our other ancestors were establishing their places, their churches, in a place called Transylvania. They called themselves not separatists, but Unitarians, the people of one God. The place they lived at the time they lived there had more different kinds of people living there than almost anywhere else in that part of the world. It was in Transylvania, you see, that the Christian West first met the Muslim East. For 150 years, they lived together in prosperity and in peace. Our ancestors, who lived during that time, realized in the words of their first great leader, Francis David, "You need not think alike to love alike." They thought it was a good idea for people who believed different things about God and the world to talk with and respect each other. They thought God wanted it that way. They also took the Bible as their guide. A man named Matthew, who was trying to write down what he thought Jesus said, wrote their favorite verse. He wrote that Jesus said, "Look, I send you out as sheep among wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and gentle as doves." Both the pilgrims and the early Unitarians were people who loved to read. They lived in a century when, for the first time, a lot of people were learning how to read. Just like you guys know how to read and could read the do's and don'ts of being a good pilgrim. The pilgrims thought, the Bible taught, that they should turn away from the world. The early Transylvanian Unitarians thought the Bible taught them to turn toward the world, always trying to be wise and to be gentle. Just as we inherit the gifts and traits of our ancestors, things like a strong heart or brown eyes or even red hair, just as we inherit their traits, so our church has inherited both the gifts and the challenges of our spiritual ancestors. We share their love of reading. We still read the Bible, though a million books and poems help to teach us how to live our lives. From the pilgrims, we've learned that sometimes we need to turn away. Sometimes we need to spend time with others who believe much the same as we do. We need time for being by ourselves and for sitting together in the quiet. From our Transylvanian ancestors, we've learned how important it is to turn toward the world. While the pilgrims believe that we're born in sin and that this life is just a sad temptation on the way to heaven, or more likely, to hell, The Unitarians believe that God loved us from the start and that we're here to learn to love and bless the world. We've always known we came from pilgrim stock. But just as families lose touch with this or that part of their heritage and have to study to restore it, until recently, we didn't even know we had Transylvanian relatives. Now that many of us have made the pilgrimage to Homorod St. Peter, now that we've welcomed a few guests from that faraway village here to our shores, we're beginning to recognize the strength and beauty we've inherited from them. They helped us learn to love and care for the land. Those of us who have been pilgrims in the Unitarian homelands have been deeply moved by our cousins' wise and gentle village ways. And they've taught us the courage to leave our safe harbors and risk the open sea in search of liberty. Our freedom owes allegiance to the better lessons that the pilgrims taught. So this year, when we gather with our families, whether bound by blood or chosen out of love, let us pause to give thanks not only for the ones around the table, but also and especially for the ones gone on before. When we sing our Thanksgiving songs, they sing along in harmony. When we say our Thanksgiving prayers, they murmur their assent. When we give thanks for all the blessings of our lives, they cheer us on and bless us still. May it be so. And amen. When despair for the world grows in me, and I wake in the night at the least sound in fear of what my life and my children's lives may be, I go and lie down where the wood drake rests in his beauty on the water. I'm restored by the wild things who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. For a time, I rest in the grace of the world, and I'm free. May we all be free and rest in the grace of the world. Happy Thanksgiving, and amen.